From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of February 2014. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. And a bit later in the program, we'll take up the cash grain market with Ben Pruess at the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility. Along the way, we'll hear from Dave Dickey. He'll have an update of the agricultural news. We'll recap with University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good some of the numbers that were reported in the WASD figures earlier this week, and we'll hear all about the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For this Friday afternoon, the soft red winter wheat for the day finished the nearby July contract at $6.50. That was up 3 cents on the afternoon. The hard red July at $6.57, a penny and three quarters higher. March corn futures today at $4.45 and a quarter, up 4 3/4. The May at $4.50 3/4, 4 1/4 higher. In July corn futures, $4.55. They finished up 4 cents. September at $4.56 1/4, up 4, and December futures 4.59 3/4, 3 1/2 higher. March contract of 2015 in the corn pit at $4.69 1/2, 3 3/4 cents higher. March beans, $13.37 1/2, down 6 3/4. May, $13.25 5 1/2 lower. July futures down 4 1/2 cents at $13.07 1/2, and the August at $12.58 3/4, down 4. November beans $11.30 1/2, that's down 3 1/4. And January of 2015 at $11.34 1/2, down 3 1/2 cents. Bean meal at $450.280 lower. Bean oil at $39.15. finished down 39 cents on the afternoon. Taking a look at the CME Group live cattle futures, February contract at 142.60, down 55. April at 141.10, down a buck 30. March feeders at 170.47 1/2, finished 25 cents lower. The April there at 171.35, down 25. And lean hogs finished the April contract at $96.17 1/2. That's $1.25 higher for this Friday afternoon. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. We do come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like. At this hour, crude oil futures March contract $100.37, up 2 cents. RBOB gasoline in the March, that's the wholesale price, $2.80 1/10 cents, up 2 4/10. Ethanol futures at $2.07, 4 4/10 cents higher, and the difference between the two, or the spread, is 74 4/10 cents wide. That's a penny and 9 cents lower for the day. On the spread, that is, the natural gas trading at $5.21 1/10, a penny and 2 cents higher, or rather lower for the day, and the diesel fuel at $3.07 1/8, up 4 8/10 on the afternoon. Gold futures at $1,318.80, up $18.60 for the day. And then if we take a look at the weather forecast as it comes from the National Weather Service, there is a winter weather advisory this afternoon in effect till 6 p.m. The National Weather Service in Lincoln has issued a winter weather storm advisory for central Illinois. That's in effect till 6 o'clock central time. Snow will quickly spread across east, southeast central Illinois into east central Illinois and southeastern Illinois during the mid and late mornings today, and then continue to diminish throughout the afternoon today. Accumulations of 2 to 4 inches. The impact of the snow will accumulate quickly into the midday. Just be cautious while you're out there, so it should be tapering off through 6 o'clock this evening. Here's what the weather forecast actually looks like then for the rest of the afternoon. For the afternoon and the evening, mostly cloudy and a low of 2 degrees tonight, a 40% chance of snowfall after noon tomorrow, increasing clouds then, a high of 25 and a 50% chance of snow fall Saturday evening with a low of just 18 degrees. Sunday, mostly sunny skies and 30 degrees. On Sunday night, mostly cloudy and 21. And on Washington's birthday, the markets are closed, by the way, Monday, 9 a.m., freezing rain, then a chance of rain, mostly cloudy and a high of 39. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. It is the 14th day of February.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's talk now with Mike Zuzlo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Todd, the best marketing advice I can give to you fellows out there is do not forget your wives today.
I hope I don't have to forget mine.
I hope you don't either, Todd.
Well, she's stuck in Toronto, and she sent me a note. She's been gone for nearly 2 weeks, Mike, on work, and she sent me a note that she might be stuck there again overnight tonight, and she was not a happy camper. they already booked, they rolled her flight already and booked her on a flight tomorrow. And
Is she stuck at the airport?
No, she's not stuck at the airport.
So she's in the hotel?
She was at work.
I see.
Yeah, and so that neither. She's probably checked out of the hotel is my guess. So we'll see. She just said she had called and was trying to get an earlier flight and found out that they'd already, I don't know that they canceled her flight, but they booked her on a flight for tomorrow. She wasn't very happy about it.
So. Well, I wish you luck, and especially with the children.
Oh, my kids are old enough. I don't have to worry about that. They don't pay attention to me anyway. Oh, my gosh. Hey, are the markets paying attention to you? Have they been paying attention to what you've had to say the last few weeks or not?
I think the demand side they have, and I think the outside markets have. But I tell you, Todd, after this week's reports, I was expecting a lot more fireworks in the trade, but it really wrapped up very quiet, very anticlimactic, and I'd say even the technicals very inconclusive. And I think the only market that really traded the report fundamentals and the U.S. weather fundamentals was the wheat market, and it had the best gains on the week. It didn't manage to stay above $6 on a close today, but it was up 3.5% this week. But when it comes to the corn and beans, it was just a flat-out tug of war on the spreads pretty much all week. And with that bean-corn ratio finally moving in favor of the beans again, and I think that was the trade mindset all the way from Monday, was let's go ahead and build premium into the new crop beans especially, build premium into the old crop beans because of the uncertainty in the weather. And we did not have much of a cancellation issue until the middle of the week, and we didn't have a real big weather change until the middle of the week. So it seemed as though the beans were the favored spread trade again, but it was just a tug of war in the row crops.
So your suggestion then is that they looked at the unchanged number for the 150 million bushel carryout and said, we don't think that's quite right, and we need to build more premium into the beans. Is that what you're trying to tell me that the marketplace did?
Yeah, and they saw the Brazilian increase in production, didn't think much of that because Argentina's went down, production went down 500,000 tons. But I think if they would have read deeper into the oil crops outlook, which was released the next day, USDA made a very specific point of saying the timing is going to be, in terms of a sharp break in the Gulf price of U.S. Beans, is going to be highly correlated, and that's their exact words, strongly correlated with the acceleration of bean exports out of Brazil. And they essentially said this is going to happen one way or the other. And I think this was ignored. I think the weather shift at the middle of the week was ignored. The Chinese cancellations, I think, were certainly ignored. And I think the poor weekly export sales and the weaker cash meal in the interior was ignored as well. And there's a big piece of news there. I think it might be worth looking at the feed outlook as well, which was released the day after the supply-demand report, because the oil crops report again, the USDA talked about meal demand dropping because the past several months the PED virus is starting to really take have an effect on the meal demand, and I think that's going to happen both in our borders and over in China here in the coming months. So I'm nervous about the beans. I have been for a couple weeks, but as long as you can sell rallies, everything's fine.
Well, you sell the rallies, and I guess that's what you're trying to do with this marketplace at this time. But you do have a crew that's beginning to think, hey, corn might be more friendly. Some are even talking bullish, and which surprises me, but that's not my job to have an opinion about the marketplace. But they've turned. And then the bean market, of course, you would have to continue to rally up with the corn in order to keep bean acres planted. And I don't know, it's a unique time in a marketplace.
It is, and I think what you just expressed is the old crop versus the new crop when it comes to the corn and when it comes to the beans. The people that are turning in the corn seem to be the old crop bears that thought the prices were going to go down, 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 and they're waking up to the idea that the demand is amazing. I mean, USDA said it in their feed outlook. They said as of January 30th, the outstanding export sales of corn to the world are at the second largest in recent decades. And so that export number has room to move up higher in the corn in the following months. I'm not saying this month or next month, but as we get into the spring, if we don't see any pullback on the actual commitments, that export number will go up again. And so I think you're right. The old crop corn bears are starting to turn more friendly and less bearish, less more downside. But I think the new crop prices are a whole different matter. And I think this goes back to if you look at the USDA baseline report this week, you take the current ending stocks for the current marketing year and push those in and give the market a reasonable yield instead of a really high record-breaking type yield in corn and beans, you're still going to need more bean acres than corn acres in new crop. And I recognize that. I just think the demand is going to be able to soak up more than maybe some of the new crop bears think.
Yeah, I read some of the – actually, I read the prices from – the projected prices from this year on into 2023 for corn yesterday on the air, and they're really ugly for the average cash season's price. Anyway,
right.
I did not read the carryouts. I think they were all – they were a billion bushels more than they were this year. So it was like 2.4, 2.6, 2.8. And they really don't turn around at all below that. I think maybe the last couple of years down below 2 billion at some point. But
right.
those are 3 months old. They're based off of the old, they're also based off of the old farm bill.
That's right.
So there are changes to come. And USDA told us today that, hey, wait a second, those are old and they're based off the old farm bill. And what you'll see this week from the ag foreman probably will be different.
Yeah, and I think this is where everything on new crop is still on the table as far as what I'm picking up from my clients and my producers and crop insurance colleagues. I talked to some Illinois clients yesterday after the report and today, and their seed dealers are telling them that they're going to keep their rotation for the most part. This is the DSM for the seed dealer talking to the client. Most of the people are keeping their rotation, but they are being asked about bean seed availability. And I talked to a Western Ohio crop insurance colleague, and he said, I've heard some producers that I've not talked to about bean crop insurance, especially the GRIP crop insurance, for several years. They're starting to ask about it and start asking me to write up some policies in case they make the switch. So I think there's a lot of play here in this last half of February that essentially the possibility for more bean acres is definitely there if the February price is right compared to the no beans versus the Dease corn. So that ratio will move these markets and will move the producers, I think.
It might change as soon as they figure out what the new ARC county number for the year for the commodities might be.
That's, that might be. I haven't looked into that at
remember,
all. You probably know more than that about that than I do.
Well, the numbers that we – yeah, here's the number. So yesterday I gave really low numbers. ARC county may be one of the better ones to deal with. But if you make the decision to go to ARC – remember, you're locked in for 5 years, and so I don't know. It's based off an Olympic five-year average. Roughly speaking, that would put you above $5 this year and next year. There's lots of things to deal with.
There are, and that's where it's everything's in flux until March 1, and that's where I think next week's acreage numbers and updated agricultural outlook numbers will make a difference.
Yep.
If they've tried to impact the new and project with the new farm bill like you're talking about.
Well,
but otherwise,
I think that's the reason that they came out afterwards and said, hey, wait a second, that's what the old farm bill, here's what we – and who knows what those – you know, it's kind of funny, but who knows what that'll mean. It could mean a lot lower cash price, I guess, but – that and then your Olympic average would fall off fairly quickly. But, gosh, there could be some big carryouts coming.
Yeah, and I think this is where this week's number of 93.5 on corn plantings, most of the trade would have said, I probably would have been in this group, that's probably the biggest corn number you're going to see, and the 78 on the beans is probably the smallest bean number you're going to see. But we can't say that because so much is in flux right now.
Yep. Any bottom line? I know I've talked with you more than I usually do, and talked at you more than I usually do. So any more bottom line from you that I need to know about?
Yeah. Quickly, I think the big plan here is the rest of the month. This is the base price. It's going to be huge to our revenue. So I like putting floors underneath the prices here in new crop. Keep your cash market opening, you know, cash bushels open in case the market wants to rally on further, especially in the corn. I think the beans are more susceptible to a weaker cash market. But let that new crop average work itself out, but have price floors underneath you on paper.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too, Mike. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He joins us from his Atchison, Kansas office on this Friday afternoon. Do not forget that it is Valentine's Day.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Of course, you're listening to WILLAG.org. That's willag.org in Illinois Public Media. Find us online and the website, willag.org. You can look in on what's happening next week. Dave and I have a whole bunch of meetings. They're over in the Outlook meeting schedule. Speaking of Dave, here he is now.
In agricultural news, the Reserve Bank of Chicago today says that prices for agricultural land in some key states in the U.S. Farm Belt last year grew at the slowest pace in 4 years. Values for farmland in the Chicago Fed's district, which includes all of Iowa and most of Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin, rose 5% in 2013, down from 16% growth in 2012. Last year's growth was the slowest pace since 2009 and the second slowest in the past decade. Farmland values in the region in the fourth quarter of 2013 rose just 3% from the previous quarter, with prices in Iowa, the biggest corn-growing state, falling 1% as a result of plunging corn prices and a second straight year of drought. In a separate survey, the St. Louis Fed reported an upturn late last year in farmland prices across a swath of the lower Midwest and the South. The bank said average farmland values in its district, which had fallen for much of last year, rose about 10% in the fourth quarter to an average of $5,868 an acre. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says that he has directed USDA to implement the livestock disaster program in the Farm Bill within 60 days rather than the usual 6 to 8 months. The livestock disaster programs are expected to provide $100 million in assistance to California ranchers and more than $1 billion nationwide. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi says that she opposes trade promotion authority. Pelosi said the pending proposal to renew TPA authority for President Obama is, quote, out of the question. The Obama administration has called on Congress to renew TPA so that it can submit implementing legislation for the Trans-Pacific Partnership to Congress for a straight-up or down vote with no amendments. About 120 employees at John Deere Harvester Works in East Moline will be laid off in a move to match production levels to an anticipated decline in the large farm equipment market. The employees, all production workers, will be placed on indefinite layoff effective March 31st. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report Commodity Week, the upcoming Follow the Corn John Deere trip. You can sign up for that one at 217 833-7300. They'll give you the details, at least, as how to sign up for the program. Also, don't forget about our All-Day Ag Outlook. Same phone number, 217-333-7300, to get your tickets today. That one's March the 4th over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Next week will be a very, very busy week for Dave and I. On the 18th, I'll be in Sherman, Illinois. You need to register for this one, and about 80 people already have. You'll be headed over to Springfield, relatively speaking, where we'll have Gary Schnitke, Mike Zuzulo, Pete Manhart, Chuck Shelby, and Jackie Vakes on hand at the Farm Credit Services Building. Go to the Farm Credit Illinois website and register today. You can do that for the February 18th meeting. Starts at 5:30 in the evening. If you just show up, it's fine, too. Meal at 6 o'clock, 6:45, we'll do the Will Ag Marketing Panel. And then the following evening, on Wednesday, I'll be in St. Clair County at the Farm Bureau Building there in Belleville with Greg Ginder, Chip Nellinger, and Mike Zuzulo. That one's open as well. Starts at 6:30. And Dave, that same night, will be at the Quality Inn and Suites up in Bradley, Illinois. He'll have Jason Clapp, Jerry Goodell, and Bill Mayer with him. 5:30 for the dinner there, 6:30 for the meeting. They're all open. That is on Wednesday evening, February the 19th. And then on the 20th, Dave will be in Casey at Richard's Farm Restaurant. That one starts at 10:30 a.m. Scott Harms, Pete Manhart, and Chuck Shelby will be on hand. That's a really busy week. Hope you can find one of our panels. All next week, you can find all the details on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Hey, now up next, earlier this week, USDA said it expects the nation to come into the end of the summer with less corn on hand than previously. I have more on what it might mean for the price of the commodity. USDA and the monthly World Agricultural Supply and Demand estimates lower the ending stocks figure for corn by 150 million bushels. It now stands at 1.481 billion. It sounds like a lot, but some had thought last fall that number would top 2 billion bushels. It's a number the University of Illinois Ag economist Darrell Good calls a comfortable benchmark.
I think that's kind of a standard that people look at as above or below 1.5 billion. And so this is the third consecutive month that USDA has lowered the ending stocks projection. So we're not running out of corn, but it looks like stocks are going to be much tighter than we thought just 2 or 3 months ago.
The agency in the WASDE report also changed the range of the season's average cash price. It represents, based on actual and projected cash sales, what farmers receive for a bushel of corn.
The projection now is for the marketing year average price at the midpoint at $4.70. And that's about what we've averaged, I think, during the first 4 months of the marketing year. We don't have an exact weighted average price, but just looking at the individual months, we're right at that 470 level so far this year. So on the surface, it suggests that USDA is expecting prices basically to hold current levels for much of the remaining part of the marketing year.
All in all, the Illinois Number Cruncher says the figures mean the downside price risk to old crop corn is much smaller than it had been in the past, especially if the export figures continue to run at a brisk pace. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Ben Pruce is not available this afternoon. He had to step into a meeting there in Everly, Iowa at the Andersons. When we get back, meteorologist Ed Kieser will be here with a look at the South American weather forecast.
National Cream-Filled Chocolates Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1779, James Cook died, a British explorer. He charted and named many Pacific islands, including the Sandwich Islands, which later became Hawaii. In 1794, James Davenport of Philadelphia received the first U.S. patent for textile carding and spinning machinery. In 1803, Moses Coates patented an apple parer. In 1833, Gottlieb Kirchhoff died, a German-Russian chemist. He discovered glucose, developed a method for refining vegetable oil, and experimented with brewing and fermentation. By the way, his St. Petersburg factory could produce 2 tons of vegetable oil a day. In 1838, Margaret E. Knight was born, an American inventor. She invented an improved bag machine to make bags with flat bottoms. Her first invention was at age 12, a cut-off safety device that shut down a power loom automatically when a steel-tipped shuttle fell out. In all, Knight received 27 patents, but her creative genius never made her rich. Often she sold the rights to her inventions outright. In 1886, California oranges were first shipped east by rail. In 1903, the U.S. Department of Commerce and Labor was established. And in 2003, Dolly the sheep died. Dolly was the first animal cloned from an adult animal. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
This program comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's check in now with meteorologist Ed Kieser. He has a look at the weather forecast for South America.
It stayed extremely dry across much of Brazil and extremely wet across much of Argentina through the middle of this past week. Now improvement in weather for crops is coming in South America, but some concerns remain. Unusually hot and dry weather continued through this past Wednesday across much of Brazil, maintaining stressful conditions for crops. Only Mato Grosso has had sufficient rainfall in recent weeks. The upper air high pressure system, responsible for the prolonged hot and dry period, finally started to lose its grip on Brazil in recent days. That is now opening the door to much needed rain. Over the coming week, the greatest rainfall, averaging about 2 to 4 inches, is expected across western growing areas of Brazil, namely Mato Grosso and Mato Grosso do Sul. Much of the neighboring country of Paraguay and southern Brazil should also share in this increased rainfall, including Rio Grande do Sul, Santa Catarina, and Paraná. The heat wave has also just ended in south Brazil, cutting back on crop stress. Farther north, some areas will also likely receive a little rain in the coming week, but amounts should mostly remain below average across Sao Paulo, Goiás, Bahia, and especially Minas Gerais. Weather in this section of southeast Brazil will still have to be monitored closely because soils are already extremely dry. Late planted full season crops and second season crops in southeast Brazil are probably going to stay stressed. In Argentina, heavy rain is ending for at least several days, except in the western state of San Luis. There is concern that rainfall will pick up across most Argentina production areas again next week, where many fields are currently soaked. In the meantime, temperatures will be on the cool side through the weekend, so there is no threat of heat stress. The break in the rain will also allow for some standing water to evaporate in the coming days.
That's meteorologist Ed Kieser. Our thanks to him. Here are the weekly changes from the CME Group in Chicago. March corn this week had a high of $4.49, a low at $4.37 at a quarter. It was up a penny from last Friday's settlement price at $4.45 at a quarter on the March contract settlement. December at $4.59 and three quarters, down a quarter of a cent from last week. March beans finished with a high for the week at $13.56, the low on the trade at $13.12.5. Weekly change up 6 cents at $13.37.5. In November at $11.30.5, finished 8 3/4 higher than last Friday. Bean meal up $3.60 at $450. Bean oil on the week 59 cents higher at $39.15. Soft red winter wheat finished at $5.98.5, and the July futures there at $6.5. April futures in the live cattle at $141.10 were up 70 for the week. March feeder cattle at $170.47.5, up $2.67.5 on the week. And weakling hogs at $96.17.5, finished $1.45 higher. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. And don't forget, while you're there, check out our all-day Ag Outlook panel discussion agenda. And if you want tickets, call this number, 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.